The following is part one of our two-part mega nine-person spoiler room where we discuss our favorite holiday movies, Terminator Genesis trailer, and the Star Wars trailer. Make sure you check out part two of this episode as well as all of our other episodes on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SpecialMarkProductions.com. This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
It's the first week of December, and I thought, what better way to kick off the December spoiler room than talking about our favorite holiday films? But before that, we are also going to talk about two trailers that hit the web today that I'm sure everybody in this room were going to talk about. And yes, folks, we have a plethora, a cornucopia of film fans in the room tonight, and I am so excited. We're going to start right down the list. We have Cole Meredith back. Cole, Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to be here.
Fantastic. And we are joined once again by Dawn, the diva of the spoiler room. How are you?
I am great. Glad to be here as always.
Woohoo! And then, of course, we have the BFD, Mr. Glenn Bittner. Hello.
Ho, ho, ho.
He's in the holiday spirit. Mr. Gonzer.
Green Giant.
Mr. Gonzerific has joined us. Mr. Andrew Shearer. Hello, sir.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on your show, man.
Always glad to have the South represented here in our podcast.
Yeah.
And then we have the lovely Kate is in the house tonight. Hello, Kate.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, glad you could make it. And Paul is back with us as well.
Hello. I'm doing well. I'm glad to take a break from Dragon Age.
Well, glad we could be your intervention for a little while. And then Mr. Tiger Power himself, Tony Estrada, is back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I am in the Christmas mood, drinking some hot chocolate, so I say let's do this thing.
All right. You got your Santa hat on, too. That's very festive. And We also have Mr. William Holt back with us. This is like everyone who's ever been in a spoiler room just about in one episode. This is epic. How are you tonight, Sir William?
I'm here. I'm a little tired, but I'm here.
Well, we're glad you're here. I know you can't stay for too long, but we're glad you can make it even for the short time you can be here. And so tonight we will be talking our favorite holiday films. But before that, there were a couple trailers that have hit the web since then and that I'd like to talk about. The first one I want to talk about is the one that is probably the most biggest thing, is the Star Wars trailer. Now, the Star Wars trailer, 88 seconds of J.J. Abrams teasing everybody with some Star Wars goodness. And let's start first with Mr. Bittner. Glenn, your impression of the Star Wars trailer.
Star Wars, I'll go see it.
Well said.
It didn't you know, knock me out of my chair or anything.
I think it was better than the prequels. So, but Dawn, what about you? What did you think of the Star Wars trailer? Did it make you excited for the film?
Sadly, not really.
No?
It kind of left me completely blah.
Really?
Yeah, which is shocking because I absolutely love the Star Wars, well, the original trilogy, and I didn't even mind the prequels.
Mm-hmm. And this one just kind of left you meh, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it is a teaser trailer, so.
Yeah.
But that I know a number of other people, too, who have been like that with the meh. So anything in particular that didn't surprise you? Just nothing that surprised you there? Or what do you think?
Nothing that gave me anything to look forward to either.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I've seen that around the web, too, that a number of people are like, what are you people all talking about? And Cole, what about you, sir?
It looks solid. My favorite Star Wars films are ones that George Lucas didn't direct. So I'm serious. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just,
it's true.
It's a fact. Mm-hmm. But I'll give it a shot. J.J. Abrams is hit or miss for me. I mean, he spent half of the last Star Trek movie on planet Earth, which I think is a weird decision. But I'll definitely go see it in the hopes that it's an actual real movie, you know, which the last three weren't, I think.
Right.
So
And William, what about you, sir? another meh.
I'm not really a space movie fan.
Oh, okay.
But it looked okay to me.
All right, and Tony, what about you, sir?
I will definitely say I'm looking forward to the movie. Now, because the little teaser and I didn't really get much out of it, I didn't go, holy shit, I'm excited. Oh, my God. But but I was all like, okay, this looks cool. And, you know, J.J. Abrams, he's directing it, which has me more excited. I'm sure once the first official full trailer comes out, I'm sure I'll get more excited. For now, I could say it looks really cool. I'm looking forward to it. And that's all it really matters to me, honestly.
Oh, okay. And Andrew, what about you, sir?
Well, you know, it's like, holy shit, I am excited. Oh my God. I really like was gonna I cannot wait. I am so stoked for it. The first face in the trailer is John Boyega from Attack the Block, which is like my favorite movie.
Oh, I love Attack the Block.
I guess that was 2012, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the new Star Treks came out. I've never been a Star Trek guy. I've always been a Star Wars guy. But I kind of was feeling like, God, these are way better than the last Star Wars. I wish this guy was made them instead. And then he did. And so I can't wait, man. I'm just like, I like life, but part of me wants to just be able to kind of fall asleep until it comes out. And wake up and go, or get invited to some party at his house where he's like, hey, you want to see it? And I'm like, yeah.
Or just time travel to 1 year later and watch it already.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I just have a, I'm very, very excited for it. Because Cole said it best, my favorite Star Wars is the Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's actually a proven fact that's the best one.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think it's scientifically proven.
I don't want to go on too long about this, but yes, I'm like piss your pants excited for it.
And Kate, what about you and the Star Wars
trailer? I am very excited. I didn't actually see the entire first Star Wars movie until like a few years ago. Wow. So it's all still kind of new to me, and I'm cool. Like still really excited about it and getting into it more and more. So I'm very excited for it.
You're even wearing your Yoda Rebel robe today. I love the ears, personally, yeah.
That's so awesome.
And Comic-Con.
And, Paul, you, sir, final way in, Star Wars trailer.
I truly was excited about the trailer. It brought me back to the times where I was actually camped out in front of the movie theater for 3 days watching, you know. I was one of those type of guys. I love the new look of the Stormtroopers. I think they got one of those, like, Apple iPod upgrades to their outfit. You know? It's all sleek and stuff. I wasn't upset about the guard hilt lightsaber that everybody is, like, all, like, goofing on and stuff like that. I thought it was okay. But absolutely, I drooled over the Millennium Falcon doing that little barrel roll flip thing, with the music mm-hmm. of John Williams, and it was just, I really, really got back into my childhood. I really want to see this.
I will say, being probably one of the biggest Star Wars fans, now for me, I wasn't always in the extended universe, but for the original trilogy, me and my two buddies, we're the type of guys that you don't want to play Star Wars Trivia Pursuit with, because it's going to take you probably a half an hour before you get your turn, until one of us has a brain fart and forget a fact, because that original trilogy Trivia Pursuit, yeah, that took us like 4 hours once to get all the way through, because we just kept doing that. I mean, so we're big Star Wars geeks, and for me, it did have me stoked. I will say, I wasn't really excited until I saw the three X-Wings flying across the water. When I got to see real X-Wings that look like X-Wings again, that got me, because I always loved the X-Wings, and seeing that, and in their uniforms, I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. I think what's ridiculous, not everyone has to weigh in, but I think what was ridiculous is the controversy that this is supposed to be kicking up. One, about the fact that, we have a Stormtrooper of color, and I thought that was ridiculous. I thought that was the most ridiculous argument, and I think everyone here may agree. Mm-hmm. Give me a break, guys. I mean, yeah. Seriously, they never said Stormtroopers were clones. and everybody assumed, oh, the stormtroopers were clones. No, they're not, because the clones were better shots. I mean, let's face it, they only had so much in their budget that they could afford Boba Fett lookalikes, so after they ran through that, they had to start hiring guys off the street, hiring people in the academy. So I think it's frustrating because the sci-fi community tries to portray itself as all being open, and then you get an opening shot in a trailer with a very good actor in a stormtrooper outfit, and people lose their shit. I think it's ridiculous. Anybody have any idea? I mean, would you agree that this just ridiculous?
I agree with you. I heard actually that the whole clone thing, because they did that advanced aging process on the clones, they couldn't have survived into the, this is 30 years after the Return of the Jedi, so they shouldn't be around anymore. And so the Empire got actual people, new people, recruit.
Yeah, and Luke even mentions about going to the frickin' academy in the original, how he wanted to go to the academy. So I'm sitting here going, did you people not pay attention to the first three films? Give me a break. But sorry, I'll get off my soapbox. I
actually have a problem with the Black Stormtrooper.
Why is that?
Up until now, the only brother we've really had has been Lando. Now all of a sudden, we got to take the black guy and make him a villain. Why? Why you got to make him a villain?
I thought we all agreed that Jar Jar was a racist character.
Yes, Jar Jar. Yes.
Jar Jar was he's
the ultimate. His whole track.
The step and fetch it of this.
Yeah. In the first Star Wars, you had to be British to be evil, apparently.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, see, he is British, so he could be a bad guy. We don't know if he's a bad guy or good guy now, but he is British. So, but yeah, I think we all agree that it's ridiculous that there's that's even being discussed at all for a community and a group of fans who say, oh, diverse and whatnot, and yet that's one of the big outrages over the trailer.
Well, for me, the outrage shows you, man, it's more than a movie, dude. Yeah. Star Wars is way more than a movie to some people.
I'll tell you, for me, the outrage is the soccer ball droid. Give me a break, okay? I'm still trying to figure out the logistics of that one. That, and I think the Millennium Falcon lost weight. But anyway, I got
it. It was designed to get people to talk about it, man.
Yeah,
I know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, you won't see anything for a while now, and they did that on purpose. So
yeah.
Kudos to Disney and their marketing giant. You have to admit that if Disney wants something to succeed, they know exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
They did it with the Muppets. They did it with everything that they touch. If they really are behind it, they're going to portray it, and if they want it to bomb like John Carter, they will let it bomb. So we'll move on here to the second trailer, which is the one that I actually just reviewed, and I never review trailers, but
ooh,
this one...
Pitch Perfect 2.
I had... No, not Pitch Perfect 2, though I do want to see that.
Look at Kate's face.
Okay, everybody do the cup song. No. No, okay. Tonight, one other trailer I wanted to talk about just for a little while is Terminator Genesis, or Genesis, or however the frack they spell it. Now, this trailer hit just today, and I'm a devout Terminator 2 fan. I've got the poster. I've got both VHS collections, the one with the extra 15 minutes of footage they sold and the original one. Special book. I got the script in the book. I got a hat. Okay, I love Terminator 2. All these sequels afterwards just haven't got me. I watched this trailer, and, well, I'm going to save my comment for a moment. Cole, did you watch the Terminator trailer at all?
I did.
And what did you think?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know. I think... All right, I'll make it quick. I think the one good thing about Salvation was they ditched the time travel thing, which to me is interesting. This trailer to me was... Oh, God. I mean, it looks pretty bad. It really does. I mean, the young Sarah Connor and all the same old lines delivered not as good, and the bus on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, my God, the bus.
Then Arnold fighting himself like in a – I know there are people like – this looks to me like a really, really bad idea.
Yeah.
And I'm really not very excited at all. And I love the first two movies, especially the first, because it's so damn gritty. And the future they show looks horrifying. It's dirty and grimy and lived in, and it's no place you'd ever want to be. And the shots they show you, you know, this over-sweeping shot of this ravaged Hollywood.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not excited. Maybe I'm just cynical, but the last two have been pretty awful by my estimation. And the constant switching of actors, like of John Connor, and no continuity anymore. It's just like, it's just a big for me. Yeah. Maybe I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not excited.
Don, what about you?
You know, I think I see where they're trying to go with this, but I really have to wonder. And would I be out of line to say compare this trailer and what they're trying to do to the convoluted mess that became the Back to the Future movies? Flash forward, flash sideways, flash upside down, changing the timeline crap.
It does a little bit have a feeling like that. Would anyone still agree? I think you could get away with it a little more because Back to the Future was a comedy, but...
Well, yeah, and it because it was a comedy, it worked a little better, but they're trying to be serious with...
Yeah.
And they don't have the same actors. I mean...
No.
How can you... I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it makes any sense. But it's just a trailer.
Yeah, it is just a trailer. Glenn, what about you, Sir Genesis?
Arnold on the screen. How well did that work in 6 days? I'm going to kill you. Who are you? I'm you. Who am I? You're me. It's just...
Glenn, you're awesome, man.
Nothing. Yeah, and taking the bus. When I saw, I'm like, how? That bus had to be going about Mach 3 to flip that guy up in the air.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I'm like, do they have to try to outdo the Dark Knight? Seriously? Like, that bus does a 360. The logistics of that alone. I mean, you know, Andrew, what about you, sir?
I'm just not the biggest fan of those movies. I actually like 3 a lot. That's like that's my favorite one. But I'm like that with the Alien series too. You know, I'm like I'm just, you know, I'm always shocked people that like the Cameron's entry is my least favorite in those two. It's just it's more of like they're I want to talk about 3 more, but I need to talk about the trailer. So I always have to justify why. But it's ironic that it's a series about time travel in the future, but the Terminator's time has passed. It, if you were someone who knew nothing about the Terminator movies, you'd watch that trailer and feel nothing. You'd just be like, this is a bunch of people running around, things blowing up, special effects, I don't understand the plot. They're not trying to get in anybody that hasn't seen the other movies, but that's the weird thing. If you've seen the other movies, you know everything, you know what I'm saying? It looks like the greatest hits of Terminator 2 trailer.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look like it's anything new. And the same thing with the Jurassic Park trailer. That doesn't look like anything new either. They're very similar in that regard. I wish they would have gone the Mad Max trailer route, because that's a trailer that's going like, no one knows what this is. We're going to just make this look like an awesome movie to anyone, period. And that's why that's a way better trailer than those two, I think.
Oh yeah, that Mad Max one. I want to see that film.
But you know what I mean, though. It's like for people that don't know what it is, it realizes that the time has gone by, and they just want people to go like, I want to see that. I don't know what it is, but I want to see it. So why can't why does Terminator have to be, and why does Jurassic Park have to be like, hey kids, remember this one? 1, 2, 3, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm indifferent when it comes to those.
And Kate, what about you?
Well, I am actually someone who has never, ever seen a Terminator movie.
Oh, perfect.
Did it look good to you?
I mean, it kind of looked like what?
Could you understand what was happening? I couldn't understand what was happening.
I did. I just thought, I don't know what any of this is, and I mean, maybe I'd see it, but it wasn't very inspiring.
Exactly. You're very perceptive. It wasn't inspiring. That's a good way to put it.
That's an excellent way to put it. And William, what about you, sir? Terminator I know you're not a space guy, you said, but how do you feel about that trailer?
One thing I can tell you is I do like the Terminator movies, so...
You do?
I'm looking forward to this one.
Cool, okay. Man.
That's awesome. I'm glad you are. I'm glad we have someone who is, so this didn't become a total bash fest. Which part of that trailer made you look forward to it the most? Was it an Arnie on Arnie action, or...?
Just seeing Arnold back on screen in the movies is what makes me want to see it. It's not sure. A CGI like they did in Salvation. It's actually him.
Yeah. So I will say that they did well on putting the two together. Tony, what about you, sir?
Oh, my gosh. This trailer was so bad. I came home from work because, I go on the internet, I see what's on, and then I get happy about the James Bond. I was like, oh, it's cool. And the next thing you know, I stroll down, it says Terminator trailer. I watch it. By the end of it, I'm all like, what the fuck? Like what everyone else is saying, you don't know what's going on. It's just random shit. Not to mention that at the end of the trailer, Arnie says, I'll be back. And he falls down like a fucking missile, hits another helicopter. Like, what the hell? So, I don't know. It looks really...
too.
It looks like it's going to rehash some of the other movies. And the storyline overall just doesn't look good. And that Amelia Clark character, man, that acting, talk about just god-awful acting. So I want to have hope for this movie, but as far as I've seen it, I don't know. Oh, God.
It looks like something that would have been in The Last Action Hero.
Yeah, it does have that feel. You're absolutely right. And Paul, you, sir,
I'm going to get kicked out of this room because
no, you're not.
I did like the trailer because the Terminator has a very special place in my heart.
Sure.
But the reasons why I really liked this trailer was it hinted at the time travel, which was a big, huge key thing with Terminator. But it also looked like the Terminator had gone back and saved Sarah as a child or something like that, and then kind of raised her up to the point. And so now we get to see the story happen in a different way. And at first it was like, well, that doesn't make sense until I sat and I thought about multiple parallel dimensions. If you have that, anything can go.
And I understand that, and trust me, being the sci-fi guy myself, I'm totally accepting of alternate timelines and that. I guess for me what stood out was, one, this trailer looked like it was from a film from 1995. The effects in here didn't look that much more improved over Terminator 2, and in fact, Terminator 2 seemed to have even some better effects.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's still in post-production, I understand that, but seriously, the shot with him and his robotic arm looks like something that was made in a video game engine,
but
in Gary's mod. You know what I mean?
That's why it's bad, because the Terminator movies are known for being benchmarks in special effects innovation. This trailer should have been that too. I mean, yeah. It's got, or don't make it. You know what I mean? The mark is set really high many, many years ago by these things, and you can't bring it like that with a Terminator trailer, right? I mean, the movie might still be awesome, but we're talking about the trailer, you know?
Right. And that's, when I reviewed it too, I'm like, I'm hoping I go in it and go, that trailer did not do this film justice at all. That's what I'm hoping when I go in there, because I love Terminator so much. But just from the acting that you see in there and some of the dialogue that they put in there, I'm sitting here going, they did this so much better in the Sarah Connor Chronicle. if you want to eliminate the other movies, do it like you did in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, because that's what they did. They eliminated the third movie by having them actually time jump over the events of the third movie to another time. And what gets me with this is that it's going to erase the other two in the Terminator anthology.
Yes.
And that's fine for someone who maybe hasn't seen the other ones, okay? And I understand that. Maybe they're trying to approach that, but at the same time, you're not going to catch it. Like Andrew said, you're not going to catch all the references that were from the original in here either. So you're going to be saying, what's the big deal about her saying, come with me if you want to live? What's the big deal with showing the liquid metal guy with the eye shot that was like shot for shot from Terminator 2 when Robert Patrick got shot? And in fact, you know what I wish? I wish they would have CGI'd Robert Patrick's form over a model, you know, rather than try to do a different T-1000, personally. If you're going to bring back CGI young Arnold, do a CGI young Patrick. You know, leave at least a little continuity here.
He might have a cameo.
He might have a cameo, yes. I'm hoping it's better than what this trailer looked like, but from John Connor's really horrible makeup on his scar to the bad dialogue that they have in here, there are bits that make me hopeful, and then there's bits that just, I'm like, oh, you have potential. And the thing is, you're right, there is potential there with time travel of changing a lot of things, but the script is what worries me with this. The concept may be cool, but the script really worries me. Anybody else worried? I mean, that dialogue, awful, I thought. I mean, that speech he gives. Okay, Bill Pullman, the president, gives an awesome speech in ID4. It made it sound like Shakespeare next to that speech that he gives in the trailer.
Man, Arnold has not been, when he came back, it has not been quite the event that I think he was hoping it would be. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly because the stuff that he's doing just aren't that great. And you know, Escape Plan, the one with him and Stallone, actually is a really cool movie. That's been the best thing that he's done. You know, because that Last Stand was by the guy that directed I Saw the Devil, and you're like, wow, he really didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was nowhere near that good, but like, yeah, he just, his comeback has not been, you know what I'm saying? And now it just looks like he's trying too hard, doing like,
well, okay, I think part of it is, it goes to that line from The Last Stand, where it's the, how you feeling? Old.
Yeah.
Because he is old, and he looked so old in this trailer.
It's meant to.
Apparently cyborgs age?
Yes, yeah, because of their skin.
Yeah, that's the plot.
Cyborgs age. I was expecting when you jump in the helicopter, I'll be, oh, back, my back.
I just hope he does starts doing sequels to all his hit stuff, not just Terminator.
Yeah, we need a Kinder Cop 2.
Right? Jingle All the Way.
No, they jingle already further. They already got a Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy.
Well, he needs to blow up him with a bazooka. They need to combine the plots of some of the horror things or whatever.
But it, for me, and I think everyone might agree, the reason I think Terminator 2 should have ended it with 2, not only because I thought Terminator 1 and 2 were just beautiful sci-fi films, but those were made at a different age. It's a franchise that's not made to go a long way because the concept and the whole premise it's based on is going to get lost in the newer generation that doesn't have the Cold War, that doesn't have... I mean, this goes a little bit to what we were talking about, the 80s apocalypse films in the last episode. You know, I know you mentioned, Cole, that they do still have some of that fear, but the exact premise of the nukes is not, I don't think, as prevalent as it was when these films came out, when the franchise came out. So to try to still use that as a premise, I think, might lose some strength and some depth for people.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you're going to do this, turn it around and make it modern. Make Skynet, instead of being what it was before and control the nukes, suddenly it controls everyone's cell phone, you know, and do a thing along with Stephen
Amazon King. Prime is Skynet. Oh, shit.
No, Facebook would be, Facebook, I think, would be Skynet. Controls everyone's lives.
But it doesn't have the drones, man. Prime has the drones.
It's true. Amazon Prime does have the drones, which look like hunter killers. Maybe you got something there. Amazon is actually Skynet.
But in Terminator 3, they did something like that. They upgraded Skynet, and Skynet was the internet, really.
No, that was the best one, man. And it's...
I guess the one problem I had with 3 is that it totally took the wind out of the sails for 2, for me. And I loved 2 so much, I guess that's why I took it hard, was because 3 pretty much made every sacrifice and everything that happened in the first film, or the second film, we're going to, yeah, look, we still got hunter killers, we still got everything. All that sacrifice was for waste.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Merry Christmas. Hey, they made a jingle all the way to "We Know Hell Is Frozen Over." So we're going to segue right into our favorite holiday film.
Now we're going to get very cheerful, everyone. We released our game. Now we're going to get happy.
So we're going to move on to our favorite holiday films, and I've told this wonderful group of people to help bring a favorite holiday film of theirs to share with the rest of the group. And we're going to start with William right away. William, what's one of the favorite holiday films for you that you'd like to share?
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost. All right. Nice. Did you happen to – here's a shameless plug. Did you happen to hear the podcast with Kate and Mr. Andrew Shearer, who interviewed the director of said Jack Frost?
No, I didn't know.
You should listen to their cult podcast that talks about that. It's an awesome – anyway, Jack Frost. Tell us about Jack Frost there, William.
It's a killer snowman Christmas movie.
But what makes it a great holiday film for you, sir?
Well, I'm not trying to rip on the Michael Keaton one, but that one didn't really get me in the Christmas mood. This one did. For some reason, this one did. I don't know why.
Well, you're a horror fan as well, so would you say that it was definitely a holiday film made for the horror fan?
Yeah, but I wouldn't watch the sequel.
You wouldn't watch the sequel? We're not a fan of the sequel, huh?
The sequel.
Yeah. And that first one was also Miss Shannon Elizabeth has a part in that, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yes, she does. So do you watch it like just during the holidays, or do you watch it all the time?
Mainly in December for the holidays.
Yeah. Anyone else want to weigh in on Jack Frost? Feelings on it? I know kind of how Kate and Andrew feel about it.
Well, I've seen the Jack Frost with Michael Keaton, but not the one that William just showed.
Oh, Tony, you got to see the one with the killer snowman. I mean, man, you know, that's...
Will the killer snowman just get me into the holiday spirit?
Oh, it's good. I'll tell you, the snowman gets Shannon Elizabeth into the holiday spirit too. He gives his own spirit to her. Paul, what about you? Jack Frost?
Haven't seen this version of it, so no.
No, you should see it.
I will.
And Kate, let's go with you. Of course, I know what you're gonna say.
Well, I actually had Jack Frost picked as my favorite holiday movie too.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and I haven't had a favorite holiday movie since I was really young. So this is like a miracle that I found Jack Frost this year. It's a Christmas miracle. What I really like about it, aside from the fact that it's hysterically funny and really creative and just really well done, is that there's so many really relatable elements of winter that you can relate to if you live in a cold place. Like, the taking off all the layers of your clothing, you're just so bundled up, and all of the decorations, and it's just really relatable if you've lived in a cold place. There's so many really great parts of winter in that movie that are just, it hits the nail right on the head.
And how many of us haven't looked at a snowman and wondered if it was going to kill us when we weren't looking, right?
That too.
Now, you like the sequel as well, correct?
Yes, I like the sequel very much.
Now, that wasn't during the holidays, though, was that one?
It was. They just went to, like, the tropics, kind of, like, Bahamas or something.
Sure. Yeah. a tropical paradise for a snowman. Yeah. You folks will have to see how they worked that logic out. Andrew, what about you, sir? How do you feel quick on Jack Frost?
Oh, I was going to say, if anybody is out there is a fan of the Jack Frost movies, Kate and I actually got to talk to the guy that made them, and there's no DVD commentaries for these movies, there's no book about them. The most information that was, to my knowledge, ever given about behind the scenes on these films was divulged on the podcast that we just did with Michael Cooney, the writer-director of both of them. So look for that. It's a Cinemaphile podcast is the name of it, and it's a cult killer. Jack Frost, and Kate and I got the chance to talk to him. It was crazy. We found him on Twitter, and he could not wait to talk about those movies. And it's a ton of behind-the-scenes stuff, tons of trivia.
It seemed like he was really into it, too. I listened to that podcast.
And that's great, because he's gone on to write Hollywood movies. He wrote Identity, the James Mangold movie. He wrote Six Souls of Julianne Moore, but yet Jack Frost is his baby. It's his favorite.
And Glenn, what about you, sir? Jack Frost?
I don't know when I saw it last. I mean, I know I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a, I don't know how long ago it was, we watched as a group, we got together and watched a whole bunch of Christmas horror films. So we watched that, and we watched Silent Night, Deadly Night, and a bunch of stuff like that.
Sure.
I don't remember a lot about it, other than I remember the Shana Liva scene.
And the story behind that is so awesome.
Yeah, there's a great story behind that as well.
I got to hear the podcast. I did not listen to it yet.
Yeah, it's a great story. I listened to that. I couldn't believe that, the story behind that.
Mind-blowing.
It is. Don, what about you? Jack Frost?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
Really?
Really.
Well, Don. Oh,
I know, it's on my list. I just...
Sure. Well, it's not like you don't watch, you know, a lot of movies, so...
No, I don't watch hardly any movies at all. It's very rare.
Not at all. Cole, what about you, sir? Jack Frost?
It's a movie you can't criticize. I enjoy it. I mean, I've seen it a couple times. It was actually one of my stepbrother's favorite movies, so I watched it a lot. And, it's fun. It's fun. It's a good time.
It is. It's a blast, and definitely a horror film for the holiday season, and it's a holiday film for the horror fan. So just a lot of fun. Just let loose. Just sit back and watch the craziness as the snowman dispatches people creatively, actually. So good choice there, Mr. William. Thank you so much. And Tony, let's go with you, sir. Your holiday film that you like to watch during the season, you like to talk about.
Well, there's definitely plenty. I'll give honorable mention to Jingle All the Way. I just never get tired of watching that movie. But my pick is going to be The Polar Express.
Oh, nice. And what is it about The Polar Express that you really like?
I love The Polar Express because I just love this idea about the train called The Polar Express. And these kids, they go out during Christmas Eve night just to go all the way to North Pole to see Santa. You know, it's very heartfelt. I love the score to it. And the animation, the motion capture, it's so beautiful. And I just love the overall messages and what the movie brings. And it really is just one of those movies that gets me into the Christmas spirit. Every time I watch that movie, I literally get huge chills just coming up in my... just huge chills, that's all I'm going to say, but good kind of chills. And by the time the movie ends, I'm always left with, wow. I've seen the movie probably 30 times, and each time I never get tired of that movie. So it's a movie I love to watch at least twice every year on Christmas.
Wow, nice. Yeah, I like the animation style. That was one of the first times they used that motion capture or something, an animation type style. And that was Robert Zemeckis, wasn't it, that did that?
Yeah, he directed it.
And the story of a
Zemeckis movie. Wow.
That is a Zemeckis film.
I gotta see it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, and a train coming to pick up little kids to take them to the North Pole for Christmas. How many kids didn't want that? Heck, how many adults don't want that? I want to take a train to the North Pole. Anybody else want to weigh in on Polar Express? Have they seen it? Do you like it? No one? Crickets?
I've seen it. I thought it was cute, but I mean...
Yeah,
isn't it that movie where they say the uncanny valley effect, where the animation tried to be too close to human beings and therefore created a revulsion in the and that's why it didn't do as well in the box office as they expected it to.
Really, I hadn't heard that term before. I knew it didn't do well in the box
office. Yeah, it's usually applied to animatronics when they put skin on an animatronic and it's like, oh, that's a robot, it's cool. Oh God, get it away from me. You know what I mean? It's like this very fine line. When they try to make something that's not a human being look too human, you know?
Sure.
And
there was a song about hot chocolate that I loved in the movie, too.
That makes any movie good, a song about hot chocolate.
I didn't see it. I just remember that story coming out about it.
I remember it coming out and noticing the animation.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
No?
But I loved the book. The book was always a favorite.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it there was a story with a big illustration, or was it just a picture book? Did it have a full story behind it, too?
It had a story. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much what happened in the movie.
Mm-hmm. So they held pretty true to the book then?
Yes. You can't, yeah.
Of course, yeah, it's not really a complicated plot, right?
Right. It was nice.
So, yeah, it is. It's a good family film. It's a fun movie for the holidays. Definitely, I enjoyed it for what it was. I think it got undue criticism, and I think it's because of what Andrew was talking about, that so lifelike. I think it's a fun and decent holiday film as well, so I'm not sure why everybody blasted it like they did. Because it's Robert Zemeckis, too, so it's even direct, you know, it's directed well. It's not like it's...
Yeah,
well, I don't think they were being critical. And the funny thing is that how Robert Zemeckis' next film was another motion capture Christmas film, which was that Jim Carrey A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah, there was that. And that didn't go over well either.
I don't think they were criticisms of the films themselves. I think it was more of just like the articles that I remember reading were just about a true actual psychological phenomenon.
Oh, okay.
That occurs in people where they're just sort of they're kind of repulsed by lifelike you know, like fake people or whatever, and it's sure. Not like it. They had for some reason they were psychologically unsettled and therefore didn't go.
Christmas Carol is a fantastic achievement. I actually just watched that recently. And I didn't realize Jim Carrey played all the ghosts of, like, Christmas past, present, future, and it's an interesting movie. It really is. I don't know why I waited so long to see it, but I'm a big fan of the novel, obviously, mm-hmm. and that's a great film. I that definitely got overlooked.
Yeah, definitely. Paul or Don, any opinions on Polar Express at all?
I thought it was a good showcase for Tom Hanks. I mean, he did mm-hmm. different, multiple roles. I was also wondering that perhaps because the motion capture was still kind of new, that people didn't quite understand how good motion capture was. You know, how this. I don't think people realized that there are actual actors doing the acting on this. They didn't. It wasn't animators. You know. Right. So I think maybe that was lost also when it first came out.
Well, but they did the same thing with Beowulf, you know, and they didn't like that either. I think it was. I can understand what they're talking about. You know, that you know, there's a Wikipedia on Uncanny Valley if anyone's mm-hmm. interested. It's an interesting idea.
Awesome. And Don, did you have any opinions on Polar Express at all, or?
I thought it was a really sweet movie, but that's about it. It was sweet. Yeah. It was cute. You guys have said everything.
Yeah, for me, I'm always big into visuals, and I do like the artistry of that film. It really is, you know, frames are shot and the artistry, and it's really beautiful. So, excellent there, and we're going to move on. Kate, your holiday film. Well, you had Jack Frost. Do you have possibly another one besides Jack Frost for your holiday film?
Yeah, I think that my second choice would be Jack Frost, too.
Okay.
God, Kate. Awesome. This is me high-fiving you right now. Did you feel that?
But tell us a little bit about Jack Frost, too.
Well, it's basically the return of the killer snowman, but he somehow ends up following the people from the town that he terrorized and actually killed him. He follows them to their tropical vacation for Christmas. And wreaks havoc there, and it's the same really hysterically funny creative movie, but also I kind of like that it's not too sentimental about the holidays, because I'm not always like that for some reason. So I that's part of it that I really like, is it's very mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just very different.
it is,
and it's so funny and
it's
cool.
It's different for a sequel for that type of film, too, I would say, because they pretty much took it into a completely odd environment that you wouldn't expect a killer snowman to be roaming around in. So
Right, exactly.
Anyone else want to weigh in with Jack Frost, too? I know William said don't watch it, so we know kind of how he felt. But has anyone else seen Jack Frost, too? Did you like it? Did you enjoy it at all? Glenn or Don or Cole?
I haven't seen it, actually. I've heard bad things, but that's not why I haven't seen it. I just haven't gotten a chance to watch it. But it would be interesting. I would watch it. I would definitely get it.
Hey, Glenn, what about you, sir? You see Jack Frost too? No, I haven't seen it. Oh.
No.
Don, did you see it at all?
No.
No, you didn't.
Well, I didn't
see. Well, you see didn't see one, so yeah. I think we need to plan a movie night then.
Probably.
Paul or Tony, Jack Frost 2, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
I'm going to take a sip of my tea right here.
I haven't seen it, but you did really have me a tropical killer snowman, though. That just interests me.
Exactly.
It takes an oddball twist at the end, and that is meant to be a pun, too. So,
tropical Christmas vacation you've always wanted.
Yeah, naturally. And Paul, what about you, sir? What was your holiday pick for the show?
My pick is 1988's Scrooge.
Scrooged.
Oh. Yeah.
Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Yep, Bill Murray.
And I just reviewed that for We Live Film. Wow.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
And why don't you tell the audience a little bit about Scrooged?
Let's see. It was directed by Richard Donner. It stars Bill Murray and Karen Allen. And it's essentially a modern retelling of A Christmas Carol. And instead of having Scrooge, you have Bill Murray playing a character named Frank Cross, who's a TV executive, and he gets visited by the three spirits. And I just absolutely loved the three spirits in this movie, especially Carol Kane, the sadistic fairy from hell.
This film is worth it watching for Carol Kane alone.
Yes.
Cole, what about you? You Scrooged?
Oh, man, I love it. I love it so much. It's funny, though, I should mention, on my Danny Elfman compilation CD, he has a write-up about this movie that he says he hated the final cut. It was meant to be much darker. And Bill Murray has said the same thing. He does not like the film. Richard Donner wouldn't let him improvise. And what I think it is this is a pure Richard Donner film, who also directed my favorite holiday movie, which we'll talk about. But Scrooge is a pure Richard Donner movie. It's just got this offhanded invention, and the laughs come from real places. It's slapsticky, but the gags don't seem set up. They seem like they're just right there in the moment, and the casting is great. I forget the actor from Gremlins 2 who plays Bill Murray's adversary, but he's good in it as the L.A. hotshot who shows up and stirs things up, and I forget who just mentioned the three ghosts, but they're a key in this movie.
That's John Glover. That's right.
Yeah, John Glover. Thank you. Thank you very much, man.
I almost said William Atherton, but that's another 80s asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scrooge is one of my favorite movies, man. I just fucking love it. I really do.
Hey, Don, what about you, Scrooged?
Oh, I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, it just got really quiet. I thought it was wonderfully memorable. Bill Murray did an excellent job. Carol Kane, I just adore Carol Kane. She's anything she's in is magic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed. Her character just so stands out in that movie. Glenn, what about you, sir?
Scrooge is a great movie. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a good soundtrack too. I have the soundtrack on it. It's a variety of different songs on there, including an interesting jazz of We Three Kings that has like Paul Schaefer, Miles Davis.
I think. What?
The track that's the one of the tracks on there is We Three Kings, and it's got like four big jazz names on
it. Well, they're in the movie Miles Davis. There's a close up of him.
Yeah.
What? How did I miss this?
Yeah, they're like outside playing for change. It's supposed to be ironic.
Oh,
but you can't miss Miles.
You can't miss Miles. No, not at all. Kate, what about you, Scrooged?
I haven't seen it, but really? I love Bill Murray a lot, and I've only heard good things about it, and it's on Netflix, so I think I'll watch it.
I was going to say, it's definitely worth a watch for this holiday season. And Paul, what about you, sir?
Yep, I really did like the spirits a lot. I think it was funny that one of the spirits is actually Buster Poindexter. He's that street cabbie spirit, the past one. So yeah. As much as I loved Carol Kane, I did like his character as well.
Niagara Falls!
That was the kid on the courtship of Eddie's father.
William or Tony, you guys seen Scrooged at all?
You want to go, William?
You go first.
Okay. I think it's a fun movie. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you guys aren't going to like me for saying this, but I don't like the Ghost of Christmas Present. I actually thought she was a very annoying character. That was one of my flaws with the movie, actually. But other than a few flaws I did have with Scrooge, I still thought it was a good and very enjoyable movie. So it gets me into Christmas spirit, and as what you all just said, Bill Murray is fantastic as this TV executive. And I did like how they gave this tale, like, in that TV spin. I thought that was actually clever for the movie to go that route. So I liked all the ghosts except for the present ghost. And the story... The humor, for the most part, made me laugh, and overall, it was just a very well-written, clever, and thought-out film, so I like it.
Awesome. William, what about you, sir?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, you should
but
put it on
your... on my watch list now.
Yep, I was going to say you should put it on your watch list, so...
And Mark, excellent.
Yeah.
I have to go now.
Okay, well, thanks for popping in here, William. Glad you could join us, and we will definitely catch you later.
Later, William.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Ho, ho, ho.
And you get a ho, ho, ho with tiger power. So, excellent with Scrooged.
Thank you.
So, I like that, too. Like I said, that's one of those films where you kind of forget for a while, and then it runs across it on Netflix, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I really like this movie, and then I'll watch it. And see, you put the little horns on the mice, and you get the cats.
Have you tried Staples?
My favorite part is when the Soggle dancers is like, you can hardly see their nipples, and he's really looking.
Yeah. There's a lot of great moments in that. I think it is a great modern retelling. A lot of people try to do a modern retelling of Scrooge, and I think that one really hits it in the right vein and does it very well in that though I would be interested to see how much darker you could go with it, because, I mean, that's
dude, the dark parts of it are messed up. Like, when he's in the coffin and his legs are on fire and his brother's there and he's like, don't let him burn me. I want to die every time that happens. He's like crying out for his younger brother to not let him be cremated. I mean, it doesn't need to be darker than that, dude.
But the Loudermilk character could have been a lot darker. I mean, I could see it, them going in a direction that they shouldn't have. You know.
Except Bobcat Goldthwait plays him.
Well, yeah.
Other than that.
You can't quite have a dark character with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat would have to be the director of the movie in order for it to be dark.
Yeah.
And this will conclude part one of the Spoiler Room favorite holiday movies. Make sure you check out part two, also available on iTunes, as well as our other episodes of the Spoiler Room. Hope you've enjoyed the discussion so far, and folks, we aren't done yet.